Memorial Care Health System, Excellence in Healthcare, presents Weekly Dose of Wellness. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Hello and welcome to the show. You're listening to Weekly Dose of Wellness, brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. I'm Deborah Howell, and today's guest is Sean Setti, MD, Medical Director of Pediatric and Adult Congenital Cardiac Surgery for Memorial Care Medical Group. Dr. Setti specializes in pediatric and adult congenital cardiac surgery at Miller Children's Hospital Long Beach and Long Beach Memorial. Today, among other things, we'll be talking about extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, or ECMO, and how it benefits infants and children with life-threatening conditions. Welcome, Dr. Setti.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lovely to have you back. What is extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, or ECMO?
Yes, it's a big word, ECMO. And so what we do with that is we can actually break the words down. So extracorporeal means that the blood is actually taken out of the body, and membrane oxygenation means it's oxygenated and pumped. And so what it basically is different ways that we use to draw the blood out of a patient and oxygenate it and pump it. And we use that in patients who have end-stage cardiac or pulmonary disorders, so heart or lung issues, and ones that are reversible, so ones where we think the patients will heal themselves and they just need some time to recover.
It sounds extreme, obviously, taking the blood out of someone's body. So many questions pop up. Do you do all the blood at the same time, or is it a rotational thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the way we do it is there are several ways. We can put it into arteries and veins, and so we have special tubes or cannula that will actually draw the blood out. And no, it's not all the blood at once. It's kind of the same way the heart works. There's just a certain amount of blood that comes out through the system, and yes, we have a pump that will actually take it out, oxygenate it, and then bring it back to the body. And so there's a set amount of blood that's being taken out at a given time, but it's not the entire amount.
Okay. And is the patient under anesthesia of any kind, or?
Yeah, so these patients are usually heavily sedated, and so and because they usually come in so sick, they're sedated to start with.
Yeah.
And so the patients are usually out. But to, you know, the way things are progressing, there's actually a lot of adult literature that shows that they're actually putting patients on this and actually not only waking them up, but having them walk around, ambulate, and pretty much do a lot of things to keep the muscle tone up. So it's really transitioned over the last probably decade.
It seems like as a patient, you just don't get a break anymore. You don't get a couple of days to just lie there.
No. Yeah, you can't. And the reason being, I think what they've shown is that patients who actually aren't just laying in bed without doing anything are actually much stronger and can get over whatever disease process they have. But like I said, that's mainly new adult literature. But I think it shows the trend that ECMO's taken over the last decade.
And who would be a good candidate for ECMO therapy?
So the patients who get this are usually the patients who have no other choice, meaning everything else has been exhausted, being on a ventilator, having a machine breathe for you, being on medications and other therapeutics. Once all of those have been exhausted and there's no other choice, that's when we consider patients with ECMO. And it's one of those things where we do it because there's no other option.
Okay. But then what are some of the benefits to be derived from it?
Well, the nice thing is it all depends on the underlying disease process of the lung or the heart. And so it's ones where we think that the patients are going to recover from it, but they need some extra help. So they're what we consider reversible disease processes. So what they really need is rest. So if it's a lung issue, we can put them on ECMO and actually rest the lungs. We don't need to keep beating them up with heavy ventilation. We can actually just let them go and let them rest and recover. And once they recover, we can actually wean them off the ECMO. And it's the same with the heart. If the heart has a process that we think is reversible, putting them on ECMO can let them get over whatever disease process they're having, and then we can wean them off.
That leads to my next question, of course. How long does a patient usually remain on ECMO therapy?
So it can be anywhere from days to weeks, and obviously the longer you're on it, probably the more complications that you could have. And usually the lung disorders take a little bit longer. But like I said, every issue is different, meaning every disease process is different. So it kind of depends on why they're being put on ECMO in the first place. But I think those are pretty good generalizations.
So you're in the hospital, you've had lung problems, you're now on ECMO, but you are ambulatory while you're on the...
Well, that's for the some of the adult population. For the children, they would be out. They'd be under sedation during this whole time until they got close enough to being weaned off of ECMO, and then you can actually wake them up. But for the children, they're actually out.
It's a long sleep. Okay.
Yes.
Are there complications that could result from the use of ECMO?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as time has gone on, and the use has gone on, there's been kind of a transition, meaning that in the past there were a lot of complications, and those complications can be quite severe. So the use may have not been kind of maximized as it is now. But I think as we've gotten more used to ECMO and know how to deal with some of these complications, and more importantly, know how to prevent some of those complications, I think it's definitely gone down. But those complications can be several. One being infection, because we have to put special cannulas directly into arteries and veins.
Sure.
You always have the nidus for an infection. And then there's also the bleeding risk. Being on one of these machines basically kind of transitioned from what we first did with cardiac surgery and what we currently do, putting a patient on the heart-lung machine. It's the same thing. So in order to do that, we have to put a patient on a blood thinner. And so there's bleeding risk, and there's also clot formation risk.
Okay, but obviously you feel the benefits outweigh the risks, or you would not be employing it.
Absolutely, and so that's the thing about ECMO is when we're doing it is because there's no other option. And so when you know the end result's going to be bad, you're going to do anything you can to circumvent that.
So how long has ECMO been around?
You know, ECMO first started in the mid-70s, and it's kind of grown since that time. There's several centers, and there's actually now a national registry and a national organization called ELSO that's really tracked all these results, both in neonates and pediatric patients, and also in adults. So I think because of the hard work they've done, it's really come about. And like I said, in the last 5 or 10 years, it's kind of really taken, it's really grown.
Right. But does your basic general hospital offer it?
No, it doesn't. And so that's the thing with ECMO is usually you have to be at a specialized center that can offer this, because it does take a big team. And, you know, it's not just one person doing it. It takes a surgical team being able to put in these cannulas. It takes a group of perfusionists or who are the specialists that run the heart-lung machine or the ECMO machine. It takes specialized ICU nurses, specialized intensivists. So there's a big team that's really involved with this, and those teams are usually at places that have congenital cardiac surgery. And so it's only in certain hospitals.
Is insurance friendly to ECMO? I mean, you said it's been around since the 70s, so.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things because of what it is. I don't know if you can use the word friendly, but it's, you know, it's a mode of therapy we do that's life-saving. So I think, yes, in terms of being able to save someone's life, it's kind of irreplaceable, because if you didn't do it, the end result would be bad.
Yeah, 100% fatal, probably.
Yeah, usually when we're putting these, it's gonna be very high. Usually when we're putting these patients on ECMO, it's because we've exhausted everything else, and
so definitely
the risks are high. And you know, these patients in the past, if you didn't have ECMO, they would usually not make it. And it's a lot of it can be sudden, like the patients present and they're an extremist. So we need to kind of urgently put them on this, otherwise we feel like we're going to lose them. So it's definitely in kids a life-saving maneuver.
Well, it sounds like it's come a long way, and it is one more course of action we can take for our wonderful patients.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Dr. Seti. It's always such a pleasure to have you on the show. Hope you come back soon.
Thanks so much for having me again.
Our pleasure. To listen to the podcast or for more information, please visit memorialcare.org. That's memorialcare.org. I'm Deborah Howell. Join us again next time as we explore another weekly dose of wellness brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. Have yourself a wonderful day.